Welcome to the Game AFL Podcast, a weekly hit of the best football analysis from the West Australian and the Sunday Times, where the footy never stops. This is the game.
Well, hello, welcome to this week's edition of Duff and Quarters for your wrap of the weekend's events and a quick look forward to what's likely to happen this week. And Quarters, it's been a huge weekend in footy, mate, and in the spirit of the Carlton St Kilda games, may I just say to you, your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberry.
Well, very apt, Duff, because if there was sledging invoked, there's an anti-sledging policy at work here, I don't reckon we'd come in, you or I, because the amount of sledging that's done in the sports department.
We would come in, we wouldn't last long.
You have to have thick skin. You have to have a thick skin.
That said, when it goes beyond just quips to try and put another player off his game and it becomes deeply personal and potentially remarks that are not just potentially hurtful and distracting to the player they're aimed at, but also potentially hurtful to family members, I think there has been a line crossed, and certainly I think there's solid evidence to suggest there was a line crossed between Carlton and the Saints last weekend.
There was. Look, I think the AFL handled it well. I don't think there should be any new policy on it. I think they have their vilification policies. But what I don't like is when there's a third person brought in who's not involved. They're not out there. They can't defend themselves. And we're talking about Mark Murphy's wife.
Yeah.
And it's all right, he can defend himself, he's out there, and he did a pretty good job of defending his wife out there too, but I just don't like it when there's a third party involved at all. I think you're generally fair game when it comes to you, as long as it's not across those vilification grounds. You know that it's that there was something serious said out there, because Mark Murphy's played in over 200 games, and I haven't seen that reaction before from him, and there's no doubt, as an elite midfielder, he would have caught plenty.
Yep.
So, look, I agree, but I think St Kilda put the hand up and said, we got it totally wrong. And the AFL also said, look, we're happy with that. Look, I'm happy with that. Sometimes you self-correct and you don't need anyone, a third party, to come in. And I think that was done at the weekend.
I hope so. I hope we don't see another instance like this. And I think if it would become a pattern, then I think there would need to be something done. But you're right. I think the football community in general is of the view that some of the stuff that was allegedly said out there was way beyond the pale. And so, therefore, we all say, you know what, let's be grown up about it. Let's admit it was wrong and completely wrong. Let's issue the right apologies and then let's get on with life. And hopefully others will learn from it. And to Jake Carlisle, people in glass houses, mate.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, like if Jake Carlisle was one of the primary sledgers, as we're led to believe, well, you're in no position. Get up and play some good footy before you have too much to say.
Yeah, really. And normally these things do sort themselves out on the ground. But in this instance, I think the court of public opinion clearly has thrown the book at St Kilda and they've put their hand up. So, as I said, I think it's self-corrected, and I reckon you'd be thinking twice about what you said out there from this week onwards.
That's right. And look, to those people out there who are old school and they'll say, oh, well, sticks and stones and all that sort of stuff, we are living in a different time. We're living in a time where there are people out there with microphones on them, i.e. umpires, and so therefore it is possible for some of this stuff to be caught and broadcast.
Yep.
And we're living in a time where the scrutiny of players is above and beyond what it's been, and that goes in direct relation to the pay they get. And the other thing, we're living in a time where the AFL aims to have 50% of its viewing audience to be female.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, we need to be very much aware of what they find acceptable and what they find unacceptable.
And 1970s, obviously, when it was rife, 70s, 80s, there was no social media.
Yep.
You know, and this was also exacerbated by social media in the lead up too. So let's hope that the good natured ribbing survives. You know, stuff like Stevie J asking people cash or credit for the Stevie J show, and that great one where Michael Voss said to his younger brother Brett, "My dad slept with your mum last night." That sort of stuff's great. We love it, and long may it continue. We don't want to sanitise the game so much that you can't smell the liniment from the bleach, but you know, it's. I think, yeah, obviously there's a line, they know about it, and we're all clear on it now, if we weren't before.
Best sledge and response to a sledge, has to be when Adam Selwood said to Chris Judd, when Chris Judd played his first game for Carlton against West Coast, he looked at his strapped-up shoulders and he said, I see you've still got those two dodgy shoulders, i.e. we might target them. And Judd's response was, well, that's what I get for carrying you blokes around on my shoulders for 6 years.
Not bad. I like the Lee Matthews in-house sledge too, after they'd won their third flag and they were in a lift and Justin Lepich looked at Lee Matthews and he said, Lee, you know, look what we've done for you. What would you be without us? And Lee looked at him and said, yep, you're right. I'd only be the player of the century.
Okay, so enough about Carlton and St Kilda. Harley Bennell, what to do with him and have they done enough with him? $10,000 fine, $5,000 suspended. Now, at the end of the day, it's just, I guess we can't say much more than it was curious behaviour, wasn't it? At the
bizarre behaviour. It really was curious, bizarre, whatever you want to call it. You can draw your own inferences, but he clearly was out of line. He was dragging a player out of the three-quarter time huddle, whichever way you look at it. And Fremantle have seen that and acknowledged that by the $10,000 fine. I think half of it is suspended.
Yep.
But also, I'm thinking they're asking him to have ongoing counselling as well. So they've acknowledged there's a problem there. We all know there's a problem there. Frio's desperate to get this right. They've had some recruiting failures in the past, and also the kid can play. He can really play. So they're desperate to get it right, but I wouldn't want to see him transgress. It'd have to be his last chance.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's his last chance. I think at the end of the day, there are sackable offences and there are not sackable offences. And behaving in a strange way at a waffle game is probably not a sackable offence, but he wouldn't want to fall a long way foul of what they regard as their player code of conduct from now on in. And I think you're right. I think they're desperate. They know that if they can get his calf muscle right and they can get him out there playing, they know that Harley Bennell will be value to the Fremantle Football Club. But right now, if I were taking a bet on him being able to get physically right and stay on the right side of the code of conduct, if you like, if there is such a thing at Fremantle, and there would be amongst the player group themselves, if I were taking a bet on that, I'd have to say he's no better than 50-50 at the moment.
Well, the problem is we're looking at the event in isolation, but there is a lead-up of events to it. So that's where I'm concerned about it. I hope the penny's dropped. That's all I can say, because the kid can really play and they can do with him.
Yeah. What do you make of the weekend's matches, Quarters?
Who would you want with a footy in his hands after the siren? And I've got to go close to say Monday, I was watching the game and I said to my son, he'll kick this, because this is the third time he's been in this situation and he's nailed it twice against the Tigers. I love the finish to that game of footy. Just loved it. Just great high theatre.
He wasn't even that excited, was he? Like, normally they run to the boundary and high-five the... He's sort of going, yep, that's a goal.
That's the strength of him. He's so composed. And, you know, great kick from Lachie Neale. And, look, there was a bit of element of luck to it, obviously. The ball sort of bounced out of Sandy's hands fortuitously, but... You know, even with the Ellis goal shortly before that, it was just really good high drama. I loved it. Loved every minute of it.
And it wouldn't be complete, this conversation, unless we said it could only happen to Richmond.
That's right. Well, they could have run half the side down into that back line for that last bounce down.
Well, I think the problem was they did. And when you watch the behind the goals footage, a guy who has been out of favour this year and a bloke who, I have to say, I have mixed feelings about as a player, did a really smart thing. So they had enough players back, Richmond, but when the ball was bounced and Lachie Neale went on the surge, as soon as Daniel Pearce recognised that Neale was going to be coming out of the middle like a freight train, he ran away. And Ellis had a split-second decision to make as, do I run at Neale and try and make him kick high, or do I run back and guard my man? And he made the mistake, I think, in hindsight, of running back to guard Pearce, and he left the whole front end of the 50-metre square open for Neale to charge through and take aim at space. And the smart thing that Neale did was he aimed at the space. He didn't aim at a player. He aimed at a space and hoped that a Fremantle player would run into that space first. And, of course, David Mundy did.
And I suppose Grimes was Mundy's opponent. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, Mundy was allowed that little bit of space too. So you've got to look at, there's a chain of errors, I guess, made by Richmond, but probably a bit harsh on Ellis. I mean, it's hard to make these decisions in a nanosecond, really, isn't it?
And I think the great thing about footy is there's always two ways to handle a split-second event, and there's always a downside to whichever way you handle it.
That's right, yeah.
If Grimes gets up on Mundy and Mundy gets goal side of him and takes a mark 10 metres out almost directly in front, then we're calling for Dylan Grimes' head on a platter. The space that he gave him is the space in the pocket,
yep,
which is the least dangerous space, which is what defenders will often do. They will guard the most dangerous space and they will give them the least dangerous space.
Unless you're Mundy after the siren.
Unless
when
you're
it's
Mundy
all dangerous.
Sorry. So he's got a pretty good record. You're right, he's a good, even-tempered country boy. He's taken three goes at this and he's hit two of them and he missed the other one from 55 metres by about 10 centimetres, I reckon, against Geelong in 2014.
He did, yeah. Oh, well, great high theatre. Now, I'll get this right. Eleni Glaftsis, congratulations, first female field umpire in the Essendon Eagles game at Etihad on Sunday morning.
That's fantastic. The amazing thing is, Quarters, with all the issue about should we still have the bounce and do enough umpires bounce the ball well, she's actually a really good bouncer of the ball.
And they tend not to give the bounce to a debutante, but I think in this instance they should give her the bounce, shouldn't they?
I would love to see Eleni bounce the ball on Sunday. I think that would be, it's a significant moment in footy.
It is, I agree.
And it's a landmark moment. You know, even if she gets it wrong, they're just going to recall it and throw it up. So there's not a lot of downside to it, is there, really?
And could this be the first time a field umpire walks out in the ground and is actually applauded?
I think she'll get a warm welcome.
She will.
She might not get a warm exit if she gets a few things wrong while she's out there, but I think she'll be warmly welcomed onto the ground.
Well, she'll have some good advice because both her parents were umpires and her partner is a boundary umpire as well. So umpiring in the blood.
Family of umpires, that must have make for some really interesting dinner time conversations.
Well, I'm sure I'm glad I'm not there. On to round 9, a Friday night. I'm intrigued by this game. Geelong v the Western Bulldogs at Simmons Stadium. Geelong in all sorts of trouble at the moment, and the Dogs with a few players available again, Bob Murphy, Travis Cloak, and playing some reasonable footy. So it's a really hard game to pick, and I'm tempted to go the Cats, but I'm going the Dogs.
I'm going to tip the Dogs, just because Geelong's form so ordinary at the moment, I think. I think the Bulldogs team that came to West Coast last Friday night and put up a pretty brave fight without ever looking really likely to win, that team, you can argue that team is 8 off their best 22.
But, you know, but just when you thought they couldn't get any stronger, Redpath comes in, geez, he's looked good.
Yeah, good first up. So second up's often a problem with a player coming back off a long-term injury. So we'll see how he butters up this weekend. There's just not a lot to recommend Geelong at the moment, is there? And I think we had the conversation about Geelong last week.
Yep.
You know, we know who their best three are. Who is their fourth best?
And Harry Taylor. I thought about it. He's who I came up with, but it could be you could raffle it.
And Harry's not in great form, and it could be Mitch Duncan, but he's not an A-grader yet. It could be Stephen Motlop, but Stephen Motlop's potential and his actual performance are two very different things. There's a lot of could-bes. There's no would-be, I don't think, as Geelong's fourth best player at the moment. So are we tipping? We're both tipping the Dogs?
We are. They need to win at Geelong. That's why I'm really tempted, but I'm going the Dogs. I have great faith in the Bulldogs. So Saturday, St Kilda v Sydney at Etihad Stadium, and the Saints we'll just want to put last weekend behind them. Apart from the victory, of course, it's been a horrible week for them. But against the Sydney side that's coming off a 42-point win, and look, he's back in town. All the midfielders are starting to play back into some form. So I'm going to go against. I'm going to pick Sydney to win at Etihad this week.
Well, so, Sydney play well at Etihad Stadium.
Had a win there this year already. Yep.
It's a smaller ground. They like the close confines, don't they? They like to be able to work the other team over with their brand of contested ball. I don't think St Kilda will shy away from a contested ball battle.
Not at all.
They're very fierce, and I've got the Saints as one of my teams on the rise now. I'm getting more and more confident about them as I watch them play each week. So I'm going to stick with the Saints on this one. And I'm one good game away from being convinced that Sydney are back.
Okay, well, I'm convinced now. GWSV Richmond at Spotless. And can I just say, Josh Kelly,
yep,
a lot of clamouring behind him now for the Brownlow. And I'm glad I got on pre-season at the 250-1, I can tell you, because I'm starting to get a little bit, just a little bit excited about it.
And please gamble responsibly.
Of course, yes.
He's a very, very good player. Is he worth $9 million over 9 years now?
You know, I mean, if you've got the money, though, I'd have a crack. I think he's an exceptional player. I think he could do a lot for North Melbourne and a lot for their build. You build a side around him almost. I think he's worth it.
And of the young GWS mids, and there's some good ones, yeah. Is he the best one?
There's a bit of quality in there, but yeah, you could mount a really compelling case for that, yes. What's impressed me more is since the debate over him and whether you should be paid the $9 million.
He's just kept rolling.
He has. From week one, he has. So there's been a bit of pressure, been a bit of spotlight on him, and he hasn't shied away from it. Wasn't it great to see the Stevie J show back in town too?
Quarters, have you ever seen a better front and square crumb?
No.
Given the moment of the game?
Best I've seen. Unbelievable. Yeah, it was. And just that split second work. And look, that's Stevie J. Yeah. That's what he does. He repays you. He can have a little bit of a lull period and then he'll just repay you with an act of sheer brilliance like that.
It was sheer brilliance too, just quietly.
So they're playing the Tigers. Cochin is probably lucky to be out there, in my opinion. I mean, jumper punches are jumper punches, but that was a fair whack in the head to Lachie Neal. In normal circumstances, he would have probably got a week. So I'm not sure if having a jumper in the middle of it makes any difference. But he's out there. I'm going to pick GWS. It should be a good game.
I'm going to pick GWS. For Richmond, for all you poor Richmond fans out there that are, and I've got a good mate, you know him too, Paul Goff. He's absolutely apoplectic after the events of last Sunday. But if there is a good time to get GWS in Sydney, it is now. They are getting very thin on the ground, lots of injuries. They lost Coniglio, obviously, to a serious ankle problem last week. So if you're going to get them in anywhere near a vulnerable state, this is that near vulnerable state. But I'm still going to stick with
them. They just have enormous depth. That's why I can't go against them. I really do have great faith in them. Brisbane v Adelaide at the Gabba. Well, you know, Brisbane really struggling. Now, Rockliffe, I'm not sure what his status is, but he's popped the shoulder out last week, so it just gets worse and worse for them. But I expect Adelaide to bounce back after two harsh weeks. They have copped a pasting in Adelaide this week, and particularly Rory Sloane, who's been tagged out of the game 2 weeks in a row. But that happens to good midfielders, so you've got to expect that.
So why do they give Rory Sloane the pasting when they should be giving the teammates who haven't helped him out
the pasting? They have been giving the teammates the pasting as well. I think everyone's copped it in Adelaide this week. Rory Sloane at the forefront of that, but I think the teammates, that's been very much a part of it too. I would expect them to bounce back. They've been under the microscope.
Mate, if you don't bounce back against Brisbane...
Yeah, well, yeah.
And I don't really care where
it
is.
But I mean bounce back. Yeah. You know, won't be a struggling...
Emphatically.
I think so. We're both clear on that. Collingwood v. the Hawks at the MCG, and I don't think it's a case, given Hawthorn's injury status at the moment, of whether the Pies win or not. I think it's by how much. So I'm picking Collingwood. Who do the Hawks bring in? Do they put O'Brien back and bring in Ty Vickery, who, by all accounts, has been doing the right things at Box Hill? Interesting.
Right, turning up at the right place in the right uniform, you mean?
He's actually been going okay, doing what they ask of him. So
I like O'Brien. I think O'Brien...
He's a terrific player.
There's something to be said for that in terms of the future, and I'm not sure where Vickery takes you, unless you need a ruckman.
Do you play him back? Has he played back? I can't recall.
Yeah, I wouldn't like Ty Vickery.
There's a few others there. Like, what's happened to Shinemakers? What's happened to Taylor Duray?
Good question.
So they could probably all get a go. Taylor's done something wrong because he can't get a game. Yep. And he's a good player, taking two premierships there. Yep. So Shinemakers is a pretty good player. But, yeah, big outs for Hawthorn, Rioli, Stratton, Frawley, for who knows how long with a turf toe. So, you know, I think they're going to struggle for a little while, the Hawks.
Absolutely. I think, Collingwood will be... That was a real heartbreaker last week for them, wasn't it? Against
It's a pity, Duff. It's a real pity.
It's a pity. You've got the world's smallest violin there that you're strumming away.
Yeah. It's a Stradivarius too, mate, I can tell you.
I'm tipping Collingwood. I'm not overly confident about the Pies, though, so I'm Collingwood just, I reckon. Okay. Even with the Hawks in their current state.
Yeah, I'm going the reverse mock, mate. Sunday, Essendon v West Coast. Etihad Stadium.
This will be a good game.
Yeah, I think you're right. Look, I'm going for the Eagles. You know, there's a lot to like about Essendon at the moment. Fantasia, great year. Love him.
What about everyone's new favourite player, the cult figure, Anthony McDonald Tippin Woody?
Well, he was probably a cult figure last year, wasn't he? But yeah, he's a terrific player.
Geez, he's gotten some real credibility, I reckon, as a player now. He gives them real pace, he makes really good decisions, and he's a really good finisher. So, but
would he be in the system had they not had their dramas?
Probably not.
So isn't that a great win for Essendon?
Fantastic win.
Joe Danaher, you know, there's a lot of threats there, but I'm picking the Eagles. Who plays in the ruck for the Eagles?
Good question. They continue
with McInnes?
Yeah, I think he was all right.
And Adam Simpson endorsed him, thought he played a terrific game.
Yeah, I don't know whether Fraser McInnes will ever play a terrific game, but I think he will play his role, and he did last week. So I think he's earned another go at it, yeah.
You're tipping?
I'm tipping West Coast.
Melbourne v North Melbourne at the MCG on Sunday, and what a terrific win by Melbourne. And I know we are asking for responsible gambling, Duff, but I had a little go at Melbourne at 40-plus last week. Oh, don't ask me why. It was at the Adelaide Oval, but I did.
There's nothing worse than an irresponsible punter than a boastful one, of course.
But you've got to boast Adelaide. Melbourne 40-plus at Adelaide Oval.
Look, to all the D's supporters out there, go D's.
Yes.
If you're worth anything as a footy club, back it up. Because too often in the past, Melbourne has produced a big performance, then they've gotten happy with themselves, and they haven't given much the next week. I think we think they have the playing resources to make some sort of impact on the competition this year. And that is even without Max Gawn. And, of course, our thoughts go out to the Hogan family with Jesse Hogan's revelation that he's battling testicular cancer, so he won't be there.
Absolutely, and hopefully, well, they have got it early, and it's small, and it hasn't spread, so they're all good signs, and there's no reason that he can't have a long and successful career ahead of him and good health, and let's hope that happens very soon.
But even those absences aside, I think the Demons, if they're dinkum about what they're about to achieve in 2017, they beat North Melbourne at the MCG this week.
And, you know, the Roos have been up for a long time. It sounds funny. They haven't won a lot of footy, but they have been up for a while. They were the best side not to have won a game for a long time and had their worst performance of the year last week, in my opinion. So I'm going with Melbourne.
Yep, me too.
Final game, Freo v Carlton at Domain Stadium. And you've got, look, a lot to like about Carlton. They'll travel okay. I'm picking Freo. Great form. On the edge of the eight, percentage only keeping them out. It's been a remarkable turnaround. I'm picking Freo, but they won't have it all their own way, and Carlton will push them probably till about three-quarter time.
While Carlton has that first-choice midfield out in the park, so the players I'm talking about are Murphy, Gibbs, Cripps in particular, and just a couple of others that can go through there. You know, Petrescu Seaton always gives them something when he goes through.
Murphy
there.
Will play well this week. I mean, he plays, but he's a good player every week, but he'll be out there. He'll play well this week.
So while they're out there and playing well, and Matt Cruz is another one, he's a big one for them, then Carlton can compete pretty solidly against most teams in the comp. That said, I think Fremantle has real momentum going for them now. Really, to keep that going, this is a must-win. If they win these sort of games, then they can keep themselves in touch with the eight until well into the season, which I think would be a great achievement this year.
Yeah,
I'm still not convinced they'll make it, but they can certainly keep themselves in the mix. I think they should win by 3 to 4 goals this week.
Yeah, I'd agree with that margin too. Good luck.
Okay, yeah, good luck with your tips. Don't forget to follow your team's fortunes and the overall comings and goings of the competition. The pre-game in the West Australian on Friday, the game lift out on Monday, obviously, and also full coverage in the Weekend West on Saturday. Don't forget to get your copy of the Sunday Times for the Friday and Saturday results on Sunday, and also follow everything we've got to say about the game on thewest.com.au and Perth Now. And also, if you're into your fantasy football and you're tipping, don't forget the Game app, which is available at the App Store and also on Google Play for Androids. And get yourself involved in a bit of fantasy football and a bit of footy tipping. All right, Quarters, we'll see you next week.
See you then.
The Game AFL podcast is brought to you by the West Australian and the Sunday Times, where the footy never stops. Watch the best videos and stay on the ball with breaking news and expert analysis at thewest.com.au and perthnow.com.au. This has been The Game.